This is Fresh Air. Bruce Wagner is a Hollywood screenwriter who's written a novel about a Hollywood screenwriter's attempts to get a movie made from one of his scripts. Force Majeure is a dark comic look at the inside workings of Hollywood deal-making. The protagonist, Bud Wiggins, exists on the margins of Hollywood with desperate fantasies of making it. The story caught the eye of Oliver Stone, who wants to produce the movie, with Wagner as director. Wagner is no outsider to Hollywood. He grew up there, dropped out of Beverly Hills High School, and has had some success as a screenwriter. He co-wrote the screenplays for Scenes from the Class Struggle in Beverly Hills and Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 3. Force Majeure also refers to a clause in a film contract.
Force Majeure is an act of God clause, and I believe it's also in it's not just the writer, the writer's contract, it's in actresses and actor and director. What it really means that in case of a catastrophe, natural or unnatural, you know, man-made or not, nuclear war, fire, strike, walkout, the list is endless, that the studio doesn't have to honor their contracts with the artist or the writer in this case. So I excerpted that clause from the contract in the beginning of my book to show just how the odds were stacked against this character before the book even began.
Well, it does raise a question about what an act of God means in Hollywood.
Yeah, usually it means a green light. You know, someone says, yes, you can make this movie. But yeah, I put it in there because it's alarming when you actually, you know, most of us don't pay too much attention to our contracts. They're handled either by lawyers or your agent who's familiar enough with them to tell you whether you're being, you know, mishandled or not.
Well, it reminds
a euphemism. But if you actually pause to look at the force majeure clause, it's a terrifying moment, you know, to see just exactly what they can invoke if they want not to pay you.
It reminds me of what's told to patients before surgery about all the things that can go wrong in surgery, all the multiple ways that you can die under the knife.
Yeah, right. So if you're smart at that point, you get up off the table and run, you know. But most of us submit to the scalpel anyway, you know. I'm one of those who's addicted to surgery, I guess.
The character of your novel, Bud Wiggins, at least in the beginning of the book, seems to intend not to write for movies, mm-hmm. wants to make, as you say, an assault on literature. I assume that that's having a larger goal than just writing for movies. Did you have that as well?
Well, not really. I mean, I was always, I loved books, and but I don't think I ever seriously, I always considered myself a writer, but not until my mid-20s did I start to write, and that was for the movies. I think I might have written some little O. Henry parodies or something, you know, when I was a kid, but beyond that, no. So I began writing for the movies, and that seemed quite natural to me, and I don't know, something just clicked in my 30s where I thought, I should write some prose. I think I got you get tired of the murkiness of writing screenplays. Nothing is permanent, you know. What you're writing is it's another cliche, but it is a blueprint, you mm-hmm. know, and it's not fixed. It's missing that chemical that fixes it. That you know that when you're developing a picture that you mix in and it fixes the image. It's constantly fluid and changing and changeable and subject to other people's revisions, and you don't own it. It's not yours. I don't mean literally, but you don't possess it. Someone else can work on it. So I think that was exhausting for me, and at the same time I thought that there was a muscle, a prose writing muscle, that I could use or develop that I hadn't, that was there but you know, was flaccid because of the years of writing the three acts of movies, you know what I mean?
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Bruce Wagner. He's a screenwriter and now a novelist. His book is called Force Majeure. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Bruce Wagner is my guest. In the novel, Force Majeure, the Bud Wiggins character is this struggling, aspiring screenwriter. And you begin to get the feeling that everyone is kind of colluding with him. And this is a guy that kind of has brainstorms at every turn. And yet we watch him kind of descend into this kind of abyss in a way. What I like so much about it is this kind of Hollywood reality that you create, and the ideas are let's do a Home Alone type movie, or let's do something that has a Field of Dreams element to it. Is right. that how people talk? Is that
oh, yeah,
how producers endlessly. Talk?
Endlessly. It's weird. The town is very dreamlike because, you know, you can really believe anything that you want to believe. I mean, let's say that, I mean, I remember a long time ago, I was working on a script at Paramount that was about, a vacation gone bad. And at the same time, John Hughes was working on the first National Lampoon's Vacation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but he was quite far ahead of us. And once it was found out that he was working on it, well, you could either throw your hands up and say, oh, no, and abandon the project, or you could say, well, this is good because a trend has been identified and you're right there at the leading edge of this trend. I mean, just like someone, you know, who could be developing Home Alone, you know, the minute Home Alone came out and made $200 million, well, you know, Hollywood, the mentality is like, that's great. There's someone doing what we're doing and they've made hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not that, oh, we can't do this because they've already done it. You know what I mean? So the town constantly feeds on itself, endlessly cannibalizes itself.
And thinks trend. I mean, trend is the kind of catchword, byword.
Well, I don't know so much trend as because you never, you know, that part of, I think, the weird sort of almost killer thrill of the town is you never know. No one ever knows what's going to come out of the blue and make a ton of money. And so it's almost as if the town is some kind of weird metropolis that's cruised by producers and studio executives waiting for that, like Boys in the Hood. You know what I mean? You just never know. I mean, when Boys in the Hood, there's a big billboard on Sunset Boulevard that says, you know, I've forgotten the name of the man who made Boys in the Hood.
Singleton.
What's his, John?
John Singleton.
Yeah, it says John Singleton. This is right there on Sunset Boulevard across from the Hyatt House. John Singleton had a vision. Columbia Pictures, you know, let him express it. Something like that. It was a self-congratulatory, you know, very sort of regal, announcement of way of publicizing this movie. So, you know, when something makes money, it's the thrill, the kind of ecstatic, collective thrill on the backs of everyone really in the business. You know, this is what people gear up for. They gear up for that something out of the blue, that, you know, that something that drops dollars down from heaven, you know. And it doesn't matter what movie it is. And the fact that it's unpredictable makes people, I think that it excites people. It makes them think that they're in a business that's volatile and they're not wasting their lives because something can come along and clobber them with money or even clobber them with invisibility, you know, tragedy, you know, that they can spend 2 years toiling on something that has absolutely no impact on anyone and that barely comes out. You know what I mean? That goes straight to video.
I'd like you to read a section from your book where Bud Wiggins is in a screenwriter's meeting. Perhaps you can set it up for us.
This is where he takes he's been out of work for a long time, and he gets a call out of the blue that they want him to take a meeting over at Universal where they've read an old script of his that they're very interested in. And he comes to the meeting, and he's stunned because there's like 12 people in the meeting. One of them is a very recognizable star who is named Billy Quintero, a guy who's known for his sort of protean characterizations of and his mania for research. And he starts to give them his comments. It's a script. They've sent him a dummy script that's just something they dug out of the warehouse, but they've convinced him that it's a hot script that's about to go into production. They want him to perhaps revise it. So he's got to give them his notes. Have you read the script? Levitt asked. Bud had some problems with it, Feld interjected. That's why we're here, said the producer. The screenwriter took a breath. It was time. The body exchange stuff has been done to death, he said soberly. He was careful not to be cocky. No matter how bad the script was, there was invariably a minefield of hidden agendas. For all he knew, it might have been the idea of Joel Levitt's dying 7-year-old daughter. Or maybe Quintero came up with it. Why else would he be here? The material didn't warrant his presence, if only because the two leads were barely out of their teens. Quintero was almost 40. He hadn't done a film in 2 years. He was choosy, picked his shots well. The studio could never force him into a room like this. He had to be seriously interested. Joel Levitt aside, Bud had read somewhere that the star wanted to do comedy. But Quintero was too old for this project, and Bud knew he had to address that. It was a test. I'm not so sure they should be teenagers. Go on, said Levitt. You're getting warm. Can we back up, Bud said, buying time. He was starting to blank. Bud has some general notes, the agent offered. As I said, we've seen the body exchange stuff before. No one could argue with that. He decided to play it out. That was one of Billy's concerns, said the producer. Bingo. Still, it's been a while since Big, Bud said. If it's handled right, that's something an audience always loves. So I'd combine it with the subplot about the guy who gets made into the Pope. Combine it, Levitt echoed flatly. Right. Bud tried to gauge the room. They were still listening. The way it is now, he said, the guy is made Pope by mistake. That just couldn't happen. I mean, when they pick the Dalai Lama, maybe. But the Pope, it's a process with the cardinals and the puffs of smoke. Levitt straightened up like he'd slapped himself with aftershave. So you'd have the guy from Newark wake up inside the Pope's body? Bud nodded, an old safecracker passing on his secrets. It's cleaner. Also, Jeremiah's too passive, which I don't particularly mind. It's just that I think there's a Field of Dreams element that needs to be drawn out.
Does that pretty much mirror some of the meetings that you've been to?
Well, I mean, they do meetings, you know,
do
go
meetings
like that a lot of the time because people suddenly, you know, it's weird. It's like there's all these moments during meetings where people's sort of their minds drop out of the meeting because no one really has, no one can concentrate in, you know, I don't think anywhere. So in a meeting, you have the minds drop out and what happens is, just to say something, someone will reference something that they've seen recently on cable or HBO or, you know, something they saw at the movies in the past few nights. No matter what it is, if it worked, they will bring it in and they will reference it and they will demand that you acknowledge, you know, they're bringing it to the table. It's very weird.
I'm wondering, too, whether people corner you and say, is that me or is that so-and-so? People that imagine seeing themselves or other people in your fiction.
Yeah, I've had some of that, not a lot. And it's weird. Man, it is really out there. I'm telling you, it's some of it is, well, you know, a relative of mine read it and asked me if someone was so-and-so, and this person that they thought I was portraying is someone that, you know, is from a different generation that really no longer works in the business, someone they knew, but someone I don't. So the book, you know, the book is not a Romana Clay. It's because that's tiresome also to me. I don't, you know, I leave that, you know, to the people that are writing books called, you know, the studio or the Malibu colony. You know, I don't have any. To me, it's like it shows that you know I would be somewhat impoverished if you know to make a book that's all full of people that we already know. You know, but it's inevitable in Hollywood. You know, in other words, if you show my book to someone and you know if my book is still around and if anyone's around in 50 years and Hollywood is, I'm sure, probably will be thriving, then there would be a whole new set of people that would, you know, just fill in the blanks. You know, these archetypes exist, and the permutations of them, and you know, people will come along every 5 years and be the, you know, the one that fulfills that archetype. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Thank you very much, Bruce Wagner.
Thank you.
Bruce Wagner is a screenwriter and a first-time novelist. His book is called Force Majeure. He hopes to direct the movie version of the novel. This is Fresh Air.